This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Google Trends expert Justin Burr is going to join me to break down the top five search trends on Google this week and also tell us what the number one trending YouTube video is. Thanks for joining me, Justin.
You are very welcome.
For number five, what do we got this week?
We've got the Goliath the Grouper. Everybody's been turning to Google to watch this video of this 500-pound Goliath grouper, which is like a huge fish, eat a 3-foot-long shark out of the ocean. It's pretty wild. Obviously, this is happening in Florida, where all the crazy stuff always goes down. Apparently, these Goliath groupers, they're nicknamed the garbage disposals of the sea, which, you know, I think it's time we stop shaming these Goliath groupers. They're just trying to eat their food. They're not a garbage disposal. They're just eating food, whatever. But they're deep-sea fishing, and all of a sudden, this fish comes out of nowhere and just eats the shark. But apparently the shark was actually spit up afterwards. But I don't know. It's a cool vid. The Goliath grouper is massive. Apparently it's an endangered species, but if they're running around being able to eat sharks in one bite, I don't know how they're having trouble surviving. But it kind of reminds me, you know, in Super Mario 64, when you'd swim in the water and then that fish would come out of nowhere and just gobble you up?
Yeah.
Kind of like that type of a scenario.
That's actually a great analogy. I love it because isn't it a grouper? I forgot what it's called, but yeah, it does jump up and it just swallows you and it follows you around. And yeah, that sounds just like it.
Yeah, I think that is the case. And the number four trending question around this in the U.S. this past week was, do Goliath groupers attack humans? And apparently it says that they've been known to stalk them but conduct unsuccessful ambushes, whatever the heck that means. But I bet you those people that are searching for that got that idea from Mario 64, because that's what happened.
You know what? I wonder if it's like catfish, because I know catfish, they eat anything. Anything that can fit in its mouth, it just swallows. And that's kind of weird, though. It would swallow a shark. Like, what happens to the fishing line and the hook? Does it try to digest that? Like, how does that work?
Man, gotta ask the grouper, I guess. I bet it tries to digest it, and then it gets really sad because it's got a hook in its stomach. I don't know.
And then it has to just like just spit it back up or something. Because, yeah, that's always been on my mind. Like, does the hook just stay in there? Which is really sad if that's the case.
Yeah, it could be like a gum-type situation, you know? I guess that's actually an old wives' tale, but it takes us like 7 years to digest the gum. Maybe it's the same thing with them and hooks, who knows?
So, for this week, what was number four?
Number four, we've got the Jeff Goldblum statue out in London. It's massive. Apparently, it's T-Rex size for the 25th anniversary of Jurassic Park. But it's weird. Like, I feel like Jeff Goldblum has this, like, weird cult following where he's looked at as such a, like, a sex symbol almost. But it's just, I don't know. I don't really see that attraction. I guess I kind of understand it. But it's like a very sensual kind of a statue posted. He's got his shirt kind of unbuttoned quite a bit to expose his rugged masculine chest, and it's going to be out there until July 26th, and you can look at the hashtag on social. It's hashtag Jurassic Jeff. It was 25 years ago Jurassic Park came out. It kind of shot his career to success. He was Dr. Ian Malcolm in the film, and yeah, it's good. It's a 25-foot, 330-pound statue, and everybody's pretty fired up on it.
You know, I remember looking at it, but now that I'm thinking about it, wasn't that after the scene where the T-Rex attacked and, you know, everybody found him in the rubble and, you know, he's laying in the, I forgot, like just a room, one of the facilities, and he's just laying across the table, like, you know, draw me like one of your French women.
Yes. Exactly. I think that's what they're trying to emulate with this statue.
I mean, why that scene?
I know. Of all the things, it's bizarre. But it's polarizing for sure. I also remember, Jeff, he had a great cameo in Friends where he plays a casting director that Joey really has to impress. But the only way that Joey can do that, he's a better actor when he has to pee really bad. So he, like, drinks a bunch of Yoo-Hoo before the audition. And he's like, they're just doing the potty dance, trying to hold in the pee. and he gets the part. It's good. It's a good scene.
Oh my God, that was really out there. What else has Jeff Goldblum done? Independence Day. He did The Fly.
Yeah.
You're right. Why is he a sex symbol?
Dude, I know. My friend Bridget Blake, if you're listening to this, man, she is obsessed. I mean, she is on the forefront of every Jeff Goldblum news. She might actually be behind this. She's obsessed. I don't get it, but he's a good-looking man.
Yeah, even now he aged very well. I give you that, Jeff Goldblum.
That's true. That is true. He's got very timeless looks, so hats off to him.
So for this week, what's number three?
This might be the most important trend that we discuss, actually. There's the Rugrats. Rugrats is number three, and it's trending because there's going to be some sort of a reboot. It's going to return to movie theaters and 26 new episodes as well, which is awesome because Rugrats is amazing. But apparently, the movie's going to be live action.
What?
So I'm not sure if that means like small babies are going to be running around, if it's going to be human, like adults dressed up like babies. I don't know. If it's adults dressed like babies, it's going to be a sad time because nothing freaks me out more than adults dressed like babies. So I hope that that's not the situation. It's hitting theaters in 2020 on November 13th. I don't know. There's kind of a social outcry of like, okay, don't ruin this for the 90s kids because Rugrats was a huge part of our lives. It was debuted in 1991, ran for 9 seasons over 13 years. They also did 3 movies. So I don't know what this live action means, but hope they do it tastefully.
Well, they did have the live action on ice thing. I want to say Rugrats on Ice. So, or Rosa, am I thinking of the episode Reptar on Ice?
That is a great episode. I actually think that there was some sort of ice dancing spinoff that they did in real life. And that was okay, though, because that was like people dressed up, at least in my recollection, it was people like dressed up as the characters without a lot of like human, like real life characteristics. Like they're wearing clear costumes in the situation, but that's on ice and that's fine because that's what they do in live theater like that. But if it's like, I don't know. I'm sure I actually have a lot of faith because it's 2018. By then it's going to be 2020. We have the technology to make a live action baby movie. No doubt about that.
Actually, let's go back. Look Who's Talking. We had Look Who's Talking and it did really well. You know, or
yep.
What's that other movie? Baby Geniuses. Like, how do I know this
stuff?
Baby Geniuses, they actually had, it was live action, and it was little babies, and they, like, CGI'd their mouth to move or something.
Yeah.
Right? They did it. So, I mean, they can do it again. It's going to work. I have faith.
You're right. But I feel like in that instance, they were legitimately just babies that they made their mouths move. Like, if they make babies to look like the Rugrats, they have such odd looks that I feel like only come to life in a cartoon type of a situation. So it could be odd. I don't know. I definitely have faith, though. Definitely got the faith.
You know what? I've seen worse movies, so I'm still going to watch it. It's going to come out, and I'm going to be disappointed, but it's okay. I've seen worse. It's okay, you know?
That's a good way of going. Yeah, definitely. Have the expectations low and just go into it with an open mind.
Exactly. Exactly. And that way, when it's good, I'll be like, it turned out better than it really was, you know? I was just being pessimistic. And then if it is bad, I'll be like, I knew it.
We talked about it on the radio. We called it 2 years ago. We were way ahead of it.
So what's number two for this week?
Number two, we've got the MLB All-Star Game just took place this past week in the 89th year in Washington, D.C., and it was a good game. I watched 0 of it, but it went 10 innings, so it went into overtime, and it also had a combined 10 home runs, which was a record for the MLB All-Star Game. So a lot of scoring, a lot of excitement took place this past Tuesday. Aaron Judge, obviously, still just yanking off dingers. He got a solo homer. And Alex Bregman for the Houston Astros, he was named the MVP. But again, a lot is actually rides on the MLB All-Star Game as opposed to some of the other professional sports leagues because whoever wins gets home field advantage in the World Series. And so the American League won, and they are going to have home field advantage when it comes to the World Series. So Yeah, kind of a little bit more than just a professional showcase as some of the other All-Star games are, and like the NBA and stuff like that, and where the best of the best just kind of run around and showboat. There's actually some things on the line, which makes this a little bit more fun.
You know what? I wish I knew more about baseball. I love to watch it, but I don't know really what's going on. You just follow the ball, right?
Yes, you follow the ball. Come on, you're in Chicago. It's a huge baseball city. You got to get into it.
You know, it's so funny. I do go see Cubs games. I remember my uncle would always take me to see Cubs games, and I don't know what's going on, but I love to go. I love to watch, and I eat all the food, and I cheer when I need to cheer, so I guess that's it, right?
It is fun. It is fun to be at an actual MLB game. The atmosphere is phenomenal, and it is all about just kind of sitting around and hanging out. I admittedly don't know much about professional baseball as well. Growing up in San Diego, the Padres were an eternal disappointment to me, even in 97 when they made it to the World Series, and I think they got swept by the Yankees. So that was basically the peak of my MLB existence, and it's only gone downhill since then.
So for this week, what did we get for number one?
Number one, we've got Nelson Mandela. He would have turned 100 years old this past year, and people are turning to Google to kind of learn a little bit more about his legacy and, you know, what type of things he was able to accomplish in his 95 years on Earth. Yeah, no, it's awesome. So just quick background, if anybody is a little bit unfamiliar with President Mandela. So he was a South African anti-apartheid activist and political leader. He actually spent 27 years in jail for his actions and his activism. And he was fighting for social justice for 67 years. So every single year we celebrate, there's kind of 67 minutes of a variety of different celebrations. And that's to represent the 67 years that he fought for social justice. Yes, he did pass away in 2013, but you know, he's an extremely inspirational man, especially coming from South Africa during the apartheid times. It was obviously an extremely difficult one, and he fought for what he believed in, and he had a huge impact, global impact, not only in South Africa, but across the world in general. So yeah, an awesome, awesome man, and I'm glad that he was number one.
So for this week, what was the YouTube video?
YouTube video is so awesome. It is the Bohemian Rhapsody official trailer chronicling Queen and Freddie Mercury and their rise to fame as the just one of the best, you know, bands of all time. It's got over 7 million views right now. I watched it this morning. I feel like I know pretty minimal, actually. I think generally on the spectrum of Queen knowledge, I think I'm probably towards the bottom a little bit. I mean, I certainly belt out a variety of different songs at karaoke, but in terms of their actual founding story and how they rose to prominence, I know pretty little. But man, the movie looks phenomenal. It looks super well done, and it looks extremely just passionate and very polarizing, so I'm stoked on it.
You know, that's one of my favorite songs, Bohemian Rhapsody, and to have this movie and like the music, it's just this is total fan service, and I'm loving it. I'm really excited to see this movie.
Yeah, no, as am I. It's coming out on November 2nd, and it's coming in hot. I know, they have so many hits, and they're all so innovative. And so, yeah, it's going to be great to kind of get a behind-the-scenes look of how they came to be, because everybody knows their music, for sure. I mean, how many times have you sung We Will Rock You? I mean, millions. So yeah, it's an iconic band. I'm stoked on it.
Yeah, and not just that. For me, my first exposure obviously was my father, but I never was really into it. It wasn't until Wayne's World when they do the Bohemian Rhapsody scene and they're in the car and they start headbanging at the, you know, the instrumental part. And that right there, I was like, yes, yes, exactly. They embodied how I felt about that song. And it really blew up after that. And I fell in love with Queen and everything that they had to do. Even their music videos were really cool, even in the 90s.
Totally agree. Man, that's awesome. Yeah, it should be a good one.
Well, thanks so much, Justin, for joining me. I appreciate you being here.
You're very welcome. Talk to you next week.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter @MasonVeraPayne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.